south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, back in the saddle again after being away from my normal digs where I do the show for about 3 weeks now. As they say, I had put a bunch of shows in the can, so they did come out on time, didn't they? Well, who knows? I don't keep track of that stuff. Maybe I should. You know, after I do a show, I never listen to it again. Unless someone calls to my attention some really stupid thing I might have said. Well, you get what you pay for, right? So I was chauffeuring some first-time gringo expat wannabes around last week or so. One of them never south of Cancun, the other one never south of Tijuana before. You know what that means, don't you? That means every couple of hours thereafter, they sent messages back to their loved ones back in the States saying that they hadn't been robbed, tortured, extorted, beheaded, or relieved of any saleable vital organs as of yet. These were red-blooded American guys, so they claimed they weren't worried. It was just the womenfolk back home. They were the ones that were overly nervous about that little trip. That's what these two guys kept telling me anyway. So how'd it turn out? Well, in the end, they were so absolutely amazed at what they saw. By the time the little trip ended, they were in full calculator mode. Yep, like Jethro Bodine, they were a ciphering away, figuring out how much money they were going to invest in a permanent home site or land or a business here in Latin America. Now, how about that for some fresh green gringos who'd never touched down south of Mexico before? Now, amongst the very cool things they got involved with and witnessed, there was an incident that I think you're going to get a real kick out of. They'd only been down a few days, and it was luck that it happened to them, and if you're down long enough, it's going to happen to you. You know how I'm always talking about the narco trade here in Latin America? Well, first, let's get a couple things straight. It's not like there's vast pot, opium, and coca fields in Central America. That would be South America. Sure, there's a lot of that going on in Mexico, but in the rest of Central America, not all that much. But it is a corridor for the drugs coming from South America, Argentina, Colombia, Peru, Bolivia. Most all of it comes in by boat or air. There are vast stretches of jungle in Central America, so there are many clandestine ports and airstrips. So planes or even boats will come in from South America, park their stuff, sort it out to whatever cartel it's going to, then they'll bring it into the States. Almost always through Mexico. You know the drill. Or maybe you don't. That just means if you go across the border with three joints or a gram of coke, you get busted and go to jail for 10 years. Meanwhile, the truck behind you has 1,000 kilos and gets through just fine. How did that happen? All right, so let me tell you what I've noticed after being down here so many years. I've noticed that the narcos love to drive Tahoes and Suburbans, black ones. You know, with the heavily, I'm talking heavily polarized, black tinted windows. Because, you know, you can have any tint you want down here, unlike up in the States. Dead black if you want, and no one will stop you. In fact, you don't have to be a narco down here to do that. Everybody seems to tint their windows very dark. Some cops will say it's recommended because that way no one can see into the car. And therefore, if some young fufu-rufu rich girl with all her bling is driving the car, no one's going to know that. Good guys or bad guys. So what about the bad guys? Well, the other day, I was in a very upscale restaurant, a restaurant where the average Latin will never go because, you know, the plate started about $10 to $12. That sort of cuts out 80% of the Latin American population who think a big date night is going out to Wendy's, McDonald's, or Taco Bell. Not kidding. In other words, almost all the people who go to this restaurant come by car, not chicken bus. Anyway, I took these two visiting gringos I was talking about. You know, they were really greenhorn gringos. Testing the waters, of course, as expat wannabes, and who better to show them around than me, right? People do contract me to do that sometimes, you know. Anyway, as we're getting close to the front door, parking's a premium there. It's in the big city, real big city, and there's a private parking lot, which seems always to be full, and street parking, which is no problem because upscale restaurants always have a bunch of little guys running around on the payroll, helping you to park your car and getting in and out of tight spots and such. By the way, I always advise you to park in a public gated guarded lot. But if you're going to an upscale restaurant or an upscale mall and the parking lot's full, they'll almost always have little guys on the payroll, not scabs, helping you get in and out of tight spots with your car and watching your car too. So when you see little guys on the street with matching uniforms, waving their arms, helping you to maneuver and park, then it's fine to park on the street. But where were we? Oh yeah. And what did I see right in front of the place but three black Suburbans? Jet black windows, of course. And to me, that can only mean one thing. There's an important narco eating at that restaurant, or an important thieving, scumbag, pus-brained politician eating at that restaurant. Because it's true, 95% of all the people who own Tahoes and Suburbans here in Latin America, black ones or real dark-colored ones, that is, are narcos or pretentious, thieving, maggotous, if that's a word, politicians. And when you see Suburbans and Tahoes of other colors, brown, white, gray, whatever, generally, they're generally owned by wealthy, fat Latin guys who require cars like that to handle their girth. You know, there's a huge obesity epidemic down here, and unlike up in America, where there certainly is an obesity epidemic, the thing is, the upper classes in the States with a lot of dough are much more educated than Latins with a lot of dough, so they eat better and go to the health club and such. Bottom line, down here, the obesity epidemic cuts through all classes, whereas up in the States, it seems to be the lower and the middle classes that are hit the hardest. That said, for wealthy Latins with bad health habits, those big old American tanks come in handy. But I digress as usual. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Well, I just knew when we went into that restaurant, we were either going to see a couple of narcos or some pus-bag politician, neither of which I care to be around at all. But if I had my druthers, I'd rather be around the narcos because at least they've got real jobs. I mean, you know, let's face it, it is supply and demand, and they're supplying a product that a lot of people want. So anyway, we walked in, sat at a corner table, looked around, and sure enough, there were four, think about it now, four 100% cosmetically enhanced, slightly over-the-hill beauty queens, and I could tell, while they were talking, I could hear them, that they were from Venezuela. You know, you're down here long enough, you can actually start picking out accents. That's when you know your Spanish is pretty good. Just like gringos from the States can pick out Texans from Okies, from New Yorkers, from talentless LA rappers with 12-word vocabularies. Anyway, sitting next to these four top-heavy big-bottom beauties were three of the shortest, ugliest, classless butterballs you ever saw. Obviously, I knew they were narcos. And of course, the difference between narcos and pus-bag politicians is that the politicians are a bit more tailored and low-key. No bling, gold chains and stuff, because they try to copy first-world politicians in their dress. Black shoes, dark conservative suits and all. The only flash is the colors in the silk tie. I said no bling, but they always seem to wear insanely expensive watches that usually cost more than a year's worth of their salary. How's that happen? So there we were, sitting right next to an entourage of heavy-hitting narcos. Was I scared? Were the green gringos who were sitting with me scared? Well, not at all. In fact, they said it was kind of exciting. Those short, ugly, fat guys with the spectacularly enhanced women were on their best behavior, trying to blend in with people they wanted to hang with or be like. Now, with narcos in the house, I told my friends, please, don't stare. So I gave them the word and they cut that out in a hurry. But they pumped me. They were extremely curious. I mean, who do you know up in the States who's ever got to sit right next to the table of a bunch of high-end narcos and their overly enhanced Barbie dolls? So I discreetly told them what I could and what I knew about those types. For example, guys like this were at the very high end and thus didn't carry guns, spent a ton of money on clothes and bling, but yet had no class or taste, so they sort of looked like they just got outfitted at the Elvis Presley short and fat man's white trash, or as expat Eddie says, brown trash clothing emporium. And the girls, of course, are from another Latin country because, you see, it's especially embarrassing if anyone they actually knew, family member, friend, old school chum, ever happened to see him out with these kind of guys. You see, Latins catch on really quick to that kind of scenario, which for some beautiful women born in poverty is just fine as long as the friends and family back home never get a chance to find out, which is why so many Latin girls go to another Latin country to play that game. Same with the prostitute business here in Latin America. And you know, prostitution is legal in almost all Latin countries. Down here, they're called nightclubs or clubs de nocturno. And you see, a country like Venezuela will import girls from Panama or Colombia to work in those clubs. And club owners from Panama will import Colombians and Venezuelans because the girls are way too embarrassed that their uncles or brothers or even dads will come in and see them dancing. And, you know, it's not just dancing there. Though it is true, just like in the TV cops series in the States and in the movies, a lot of people, men that is, will go to the strip clubs up in the States anyway, just to have a drink and do business in that kind of atmosphere. However, up in the States, in those clubs, the most that's legal is a lap dance. Whereas down here in Latin America, every nightclub you go into where you'll see pole dancing and stuff is also a place where there's legalized prostitution. And the truth is, and I've been told this by many Latin guys, half the people who go into those places aren't going there for the sex at all. They're just going for camaraderie. They actually go there to watch the game, drink some overpriced beers, and do it in the presence of strippers. Go figure, huh? And Latin businessmen and lawyers will also tell you that much of the business done in Latin America is done at the tables of strip bars. And if you think about it, halfway makes sense since no one, practically no one, golfs in Latin America. And that's where most of the deals are made in the States, right? On the golf course. And for Latin businessmen types and narcos, it's strip clubs or nightclubs, as they're called. Anyway, I mentioned to my two green gringo buddies, who are from Chicago, by the way, that outside in those three big bulletproof Tahoes, or were they Suburbans? Whatever, they're both pretty much clones. By the way, they're bulletproof too. They have these places called blindado shops down here where anyone could have their car bulletproof. Cost generally between $5,000 and $20,000, depending on the level of protection. I believe there are four levels. Level four, I believe, is guaranteed to protect you from 50 caliber shells and small explosives. And level one, that's the lightest grade of armor, guaranteed to protect you from metal-piercing hard-shell tacos. Now, it's true, and there's been many discussions about it. No one actually needs any of that crap, except politicians, narcos, and lawyers. And why is that? Well, when you see on the 6 o'clock news or in the front page of a local paper that there's been some kind of shootout and a car is plastered with bullets, I can tell you, 99% of the time, the guy who owns the car is a narco, a maggotist politician, or a scumbag lawyer with narcos and politicians as his clients. Those are the facts, Jack. And don't let anybody tell you that an average guy is in danger of getting gunned down here in Latin America. That's totally untrue. Which is why when you pass by one of these blindado shops that's, you know, bulletproof services while you wait. Yeah, I can see it now. Hey, Julio, let's go get a Happy Meal. And, why not have our car bulletproofed while we wait? Now that sounds like a Monty Python skit, doesn't it? Oh, and by the way, there'll always be a few high-end cars that the average gringo should never own. Like SUVs of the Mercedes, BMW, Audi, and Porsche brand. And of course, Tahoes and Suburbans. Because you see, those are the cars of choice for politicians, narcos, and lawyers. Oh, and regarding lawyers of that stripe, again, talking about lawyers whose clients are narcos and scumbag politicians. Because you see, your average lawyer who has the common man and regular business type as his routine clients is not going to be driving a new SUV. Much less a model as previously discussed. Unless it's a used, restored, salvaged junk from an auction up in the States. Why? Because your common, everyday lawyer can never afford to buy a new SUV of any kind. So anyway, in this restaurant, one of the Chicago expat wannabes says, you know, I feel like I'm in a Sopranos episode with Tony and his crew and their babes sitting at the table right next to us. And I said, quietly, of course, the difference is Sopranos was Hollywood, and this is real life down here. By the way, these guys packed no heat. They had their big crew of bodyguards in those SUVs out in front of the restaurant. So down here in Latin America, like up in the States, high-end mob figures, like narco figures, live in high-end neighborhoods, go to high-end malls, restaurants, and health clubs. Though they mostly overdo things, have no class, and are obviously a bit different from everyone else. Even if you don't see them and just hear them, you can often spot them by the fact they use a low-end kind of street Spanish. The usual scenario, and I've seen it a dozen times, ugly, overdressed, blinged-out guys with little or no class, surrounded by a gaggle of the hottest-looking women within 100 kilometers. Sort of a real-life version of every rap and hip-hop video up in the States. But remember, there'll be no threat to you, and they won't be packing. Guys in the cars will, of course. Now, I'm not saying it's common that in every medium and high-end restaurant you'll spot guys like that. Though, I'd say, if you're driving in a big city and you spend a few hours on the road in busy traffic, you will see a few big black Suburbans or Tahoes with blacked-out windows. At least you'll have your suspicions. Aside from that, actually being in a place where there's obvious narcos, in my personal experience, I'd say I run into a narco type, or at least I have my suspicions, about once a month. Nothing to write home about. Well, maybe it is if you're not used to that kind of thing. But I will say, when you're in an upscale area, big mall or parking lot, if you take a walk through and check out every car, and who's going to do that? But if you did, you might just see a black Suburban or a Tahoe or two, with one or two short guys in dark glasses and suits standing around the car. You know, they're bodyguards guarding some worthless piece of crap. Certainly a 1 in 3 chance the guy's a narco. But just to give you a heads up, that's the kind of thing you'll see if you hang around some of the big cities in Latin America. In any Latin big city. Now, as far as all the gangland narco stuff you read about, where people are shooting it out in the streets and innocent bystanders are getting picked off, well, there's a lot of that going on in Mexico right now, but almost never in the upscale neighborhood. You'll find that happens almost exclusively in the lower-end neighborhoods called favelas. Those are slums in Brazil and what they might call asentamientos in the rest of Latin America. And of course, these are places that are never recommended for gringos or expats to live, work, play, and or do business. Why would you even want to go near those places when there are so many nice areas? And you know, the slums down here might be ugly, stinky, trashy, and well, crap. Unlike the ghetto slums up in Big City, USA, you can actually drive your car through them during the daytime and no one will hassle you. At night, you can pretty much get away with it too. Try that in some of the ghettos up in the States and you're not coming out alive. However, just like up in the States, there are a lot of bad neighborhoods that you wouldn't want to get out of your car and take a stroll. But you knew that already, and those are the kind of things we talk about on this show and at my Expat Insider seminars. And you know, since about half of our seminars held in and around Guatemala City, the biggest city in Central America, we hand out a map of the 25 zones of that city. It's color-coded, and you'll notice, if you had that map in your hands, that about 3/4 of those districts are absolutely fine to drive through and walk through during the daytime. Probably 1/4 of those zones are perfectly fine to stroll through at night. Though, at night anyway, you really shouldn't walk alone in any big city in any place in the world these days. So, keep that in mind. You get the idea. And those are the things you really have to know if you're going to set up your plan B here in Latin America and relocate to a medium or large-sized city. And many small towns in Latin America, from 2,000 to 25,000 people, can be very safe. Though I'd say any town, city, or village anywhere in the world is not safe if you're drunk and stumbling around the streets at night with your wallet on your head. So bottom line, the gangs and the bad guys with the neck tattoos you see shooting it out on TV, well, the northern and western parts of Mexico are pretty much gangland central when you're talking about that stuff. But when you're south of Mexico, you're looking at guys like that hanging around exclusively in the very bad neighborhoods that we always tell you to keep away from. And 98% of all the crimes and violence and shootouts are gang-on-gang incidents, almost always taking place in the scruffy, trashy hoods. So even though First World Media paints the danger as universal throughout Latin America, it just ain't so. That's good news for us long-term gringos and expats and people with a plan B. And you know, you're only going to find out what Latin America is really like by getting boots on the ground down here. Hey, now, here's an email you'll think you'll like. It's a topic we've spoken about before, but it's worth repeating. Starts, "Hey, Johnny, I just read your report on medical care in Latin America. You don't think or say too much about medical care in Belize. I'm thinking about relocating to Belize myself. Do you have any further information about Belize regarding medical and in general?" And then he says, "Johnny, also I think your seminar/visits to Latin American medical facilities sound very interesting. Yours truly, Wayne from Naples, Florida." Hey, Belize, great sun and fun place to visit for a week or two, but guess what? It's got one of the worst medical systems in all of Latin America, probably second only to Venezuelan, which has the worst of everything. So if you're going to get sick or you need long-term care, do not move to Belize. What'll happen is if you have a heart attack or something really serious, they'll airlift you to Guatemala City or Mexico. They'll get you out of the country. Why? Because there's no teaching medical school or hospital with medical interns in the whole country. It's a country that's got less than 1 million people. In fact, closer to 500,000. So there's not a big enough population to support a medical school. So all the doctors have to be imported, the vast majority from Cuba. They're very good trauma doctors, but they don't know how to use equipment because Cuba does not have modern, sophisticated biomedical tools and equipment. It's just too damn poor and, well, you know, socialist and all that. What that means is there are some specialists that don't even exist in the country. I understand there's no full-time oncologist in the whole damn country. So if you're the young, fit, and indestructible type, we all were like that under 35, right? Belize is a great place if you like sun, fun, and very hot conditions. However, as you get older, you think more and more about healthcare options, and Belize, well, they haven't got much. In fact, this might interest you. If you get one of those all-inclusive healthcare plans from an adjacent country like Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, oddly enough, the higher-end plans have inter-Latin American coverage. That's a very good thing, you know. In other words, if you're sick in Peru and you've got your insurance from Honduras or Guatemala, whatever, you get covered in Peru. Then why is it almost all Latin American full insurance coverage plans won't include Belize? They know something we don't know? So then what do you do if you get sick in Belize and have a plan like that? Well, hire a private ambulance service and have them drive you to the closest Latin border country. Then you're covered. Now, I could go on and on about this and give you a couple of dozen other reasons Belize is not a good place to be a permanent expat. But you longtime listeners have heard me talk about all that on past shows. And in fact, practically everybody I know who's moved to Belize moved there because of the English language thing. Yep, they speak English there, which is not a good reason to move to a country just because they speak English. But, you know, a lot of people do. I've got dozens, if not hundreds of emails that say basically the same thing. Wish I woulda, coulda, woulda. Aside from the fact that the locals have learned how to gouge the gringos now, and the haves and the have-nots are as extreme as you'll see in any of the most poor countries in the world. Not to mention, they manufacture almost nothing, so food's cheap, grows there like crazy, but anything else, even more than first world prices because they slap hefty import taxes on everything. All right, I know you knew that already. Wayne didn't, but you do now, right, Wayne? Oh, and at the end of your email, you said, good idea, taking people to see medical facilities, etc., on your seminar. Glad he mentioned that. In fact, that's one of the most popular parts of my Latin Insider seminars. By the way, if you're listening to this show, the day it comes out, that's Friday, May 26th. And if you haven't signed up already for my July 2017 Insider seminar, you got about a week to still get under the wire with the early bird discounts. That means you'll still get that $500 off the regular price. So get on it. You've got about a week before the prices go back to normal. Oh, and don't forget, the price includes 6 hotel nights too, as well as all your breakfasts and transportation, etc. And you can read all about that on the sign-up sheet. That's www.thenewexpat.com. Just click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link, and you'll get full info and sign-up details. You'll also find out about those famous John Galt pre- and post-seminar trips. And man, if you have any designs on starting a business in Latin America, you'll really want to take one or both of those trips. In fact, just last week, I went on a condensed John Galt trip myself, taking my 2 Chicago boys with me. And I think I loosely counted between them, they had 12 brand new business ideas. How about that? Most of them having to do with import-export. So like I said, if you're thinking about or have an inkling you might want to start a business here in Latin America, you really should hook up with one of the John Galt trips. And of course, if you just can't swing it, don't have the money, or can't squeeze the time to come to the seminar, the next best thing, of course, is to take my Expat Essentials course. Just go to www.expatplanb.com and don't forget the triple dub at the beginning or you won't get there. And you'll get 3 free introductory videos to my 9-hour video course. So if you got your Plan B pieces but are wondering how to put them all together, that's the best way to get you started. Finally, my last plug. Gotta do it, you know. I try to squeeze all this stuff into 1 minute on the show, so hope that isn't too much for you longtime listeners. Anyway, you know, I'm available for one-on-one phone or Skype consultations. I'm here to help you out with all the details in your particular case. So if you're working along on your plan B and have some special circumstances, we all do, or you get stuck along the way somehow and don't know how to proceed next, or you need some specific information or some of my on-the-ground contacts, just go to www.thenewexpat.com and fill out my preliminary phone consultation questionnaire. I know if you read through it, it'll give you a lot of ideas and fill in some of the blanks about things you probably weren't thinking about and should. Let me leave you with one last thought. You know, a lot of people review my show. People doing other shows out there say, hey, there's this Johnny guy out there doing this expat broadcast, and he really tells it like it is, and he seems to really hate politicians. Yep, I see comments like that up all over the internet. You know, they seem to like my show, but some say I'm just a little too hard on politicians and other pieces of worthless shit. And I mean that in the kindest, most Christian way, of course. Now, I get some emails from people saying, Johnny, why do you hammer on them so much? There have to be some good politicians out there, people doing good things. And I say, nope. They're all pretty much gas bag whores who will sell their own sisters. And that goes for every last U.S. politician, too. As if you needed proof, here's an article from May 18th. And I'll translate this. The title says, leaked audio shows Brazil's president negotiating bribes. It says a new audio recording has leaked in which Brazil's president, Michel Temer, can be heard discussing the details of a bribe offered to a company executive. The president of the company, JBS SA, allegedly gave the audio to a Brazilian newspaper, O Globo. Here's what's on the recording. The president of JBS, Josle Batista, and his brother, chief executive Wesley Batista, are discussing the purchase of the silence of ex-president of the Chamber of Deputies, Edward Cunha, who is now in prison. The meeting between company officials and Brazil's president was held on March 7th, during which the president can be heard giving his approval to silence Cunha. Then it lays out some more graft and corruption stuff, and finally says, the information involved in this scandal is monumental. In fact, several deputies, which would be senators, have already asked for impeachment of President Temer. All right, it's me again. That's why I firmly believe in term limits. Just 2 terms for everyone. That's it. 1 term in office and 1 term in prison.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.